Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture readings are found in Psalms 90, 1 through 6, on page 929. A prayer of Moses of the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and weathered. And verses 13 through 17 of the same chapter. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad in our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have been seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And your second reading is in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 8, and you'll find that on page 1840 in your pew Bible. And this is titled, Living to Please God. Finally, brothers, we instruct you to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instruction we give you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen, but who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. Forgive, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rose. So our sermon this week, based on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. If you'd read along with me from verse 34 through 46. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. This is the greatest commandment. So hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. But while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. He says, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Well, the son of David, they replied. And he said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? But no one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do thank you once again for the opportunity just to share your word. And I pray that my words be pleasing to you and that they would be true and that you would fill us this day with your spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So if you look online, you'll see that I titled this sermon I was going to give today as What If? We need to ask ourselves some questions. We need to answer some questions. But I thought a good way of looking to the scripture first was to tell you a story about a little boy who wanted to know what time it was. Well, his dad was a teacher, a college professor, and he taught mechanical engineering. And he was out in the backyard playing one day, and needed to know what time it was because he was supposed to meet his friends. So he runs in the house, mom's in the kitchen, he says, Mom, what time is it? And mom looked at her wrist and she didn't have a watch on. And she was really busy, had her hands full. She said, just go in the living room and ask your father. And he looks up at her and he gets this real disgusted look on his face. He says, I didn't want to know how to make a watch. I just wanted to know what time it was. You know, we make life complicated sometimes. And more I thought about this, I thought about what is Jesus really trying to teach us here? I think I've taught probably had 4 or 5 sermons on this since I've been here, on this greatest commandment. And I thought, I need to look at it a different way. So I got to thinking about Sandro's here last Sunday. I'm glad to see it come back. So you inspired this. I got thinking about that afterwards. I'm thinking, because we didn't have a chance to talk, I thought, you know, and I was at this point one time too. So first time I come to a church, actually it was before I came here, we were looking for another place to go. The Lord led me to the little church down on Lakeside. And so we went down there. And I went in there, and I don't think I was there through one service. And the pastor down there comes and he says, so what do you think? You're going to be coming here? And I said, so what exactly do you expect of me? What's expected of me if I come to this church? And he was at a loss for words. And those bells kept ringing through my head. So I got thinking about this. So what if somebody come in this church? We're going to play this little game. So if somebody comes in this little church, and they sit through a message, and they think, and they ask you, they turn to the person right next to them, and they says, so what would be expected of me if I became a member in this church? If I sat here with you every Sunday, what would be expected of me? What would you tell them in 5 minutes or less? So if your first thought is to turn and say, well, I'd send them to the pastor. I want you to consider this. They probably just sat through 20 minutes of listening. I'm probably the most visible person here. And they didn't ask me. They asked you. So when I got to thinking about that, I got to thinking about the question that the Pharisees asked Jesus at this very time. It was probably the same question. Which is the greatest commandment? What's expected of them? What's most important to God? Now think about this. Well, what's most important to God? It's kind of like asking, so which sin is the worst sin? What's the worst sin you can commit? Well, it doesn't really take a genius to figure out or have to read very far in the Bible to tell you that a sin is a sin. We all understand this. And Paul writes to us in Romans 6:23, he says, and the wages of sin is death. So if I were to ask you, so which is worse, murder or to lie on your income taxes? Is there any difference? Think about it for a minute. And as I thought about that, and I thought about, so Jesus immediately after he asked this question, he doesn't hesitate. He tells him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Also, you to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't hesitate. And I'm thinking, here we have Pharisees. They're asking Jesus to tell them which sin is the worst. What are they supposed to do? Because you see, the Pharisees at that time, they take them the book of the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, the first five books of the law, they called it, and made up all these, took all the commandments out and listed them. I think there were 613. My addition works right. I mean, think about this. So I know when I was a youngster, I grew up in a church, in the First Christian Church in Kirkwood, and one of the first things our Sunday school teacher taught us was, you got to memorize the Ten Commandments. So we did that. And how many of you here did that? Anybody here know the Ten Commandments? There's one or two people here probably have the Ten Commandments to memory. We all know what they are if you hear them, though, right? How about 613 of them? I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the 613 commandments that the Pharisees were teaching, they taught you how to do everything. And if you look at the 66 books of the Bible, you can learn just about anything you want. And there's a topic for just about every subject going. I mean, it'll teach you what clothes to wear at a funeral. It'll teach you what you should be buying, how you should prepare meals. And if that wasn't bad enough, if you're in my position and you're looking at commentaries all the time and trying to have a better understanding, well, there's good help books that a lot of Christian commentary guys and Christian ministers have written on it. For everything, I mean, from, you know, how to have a good sex life to, you know, how to golf, how to manage your money. And the list goes on and on and on. I mean, you can find out, they'll tell you how to do everything. And I thought, and it can be so confusing and so overwhelming that maybe we ought to look at this once again. And so what if we ask Jesus, what if Jesus was sitting right here today? And if I were to ask, sitting next to him, or you're sitting next to him, you look at Jesus and say, so what would be expected of me if I come to this church? What do you think Jesus' response would be? Jesus' response would be, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love neighbor as yourself. Think about this, what he would tell you, because to love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, you can't possibly do that without loving your neighbor as yourself. They are totally connected. And we have to remember also that in order to become a member here, to do what's expected of us is to become part of our church, the Franklin Hill Church. It's not really our church, though, is it? It belongs to God. It's His church. That's why it's so important that we know what He expects of us. So if you're sitting in this pew, and you ask the person next to you, or if they were to ask me, I'd say, well, this is all you have to do, and what's expected of you to be in this church. Pretty simple answer. Jesus gave it to us here, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And that's a pretty easy answer. I say, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, the easy part is knowing that. The hard part is doing it. How do we do that? Then I'd really have to look at him and say, so are you still interested? That would discourage a lot of people, right? So I think the thing we need to do is ask the question that Jesus asked the Pharisees. That's the next part of this. So if you look back, if you look here at the end of the scripture reading, in verse 41, he says, so while the Pharisees were still gathered together, so why we're still here, if we were all the Pharisees, Jesus would ask us a question. He would say, so what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? So I thought about that. I'm thinking that's the real question we need to ask, isn't it? We need to ask that of ourselves. So what if Jesus was sitting next to you and he asked you, he says, who do you think? What do you think about Jesus? Whose son is he? We really need to ask ourselves that question this week. Who do you think Jesus is? Why do we come here to worship? What's expected of us? We're expected to know who Jesus is and whose son he is, because he is the Son of God and he gave his life for us so that we might have the love, the capacity to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for how you provide for us, how you love us. This morning I would ask you to just come into each and every one of our hearts, into our being, so that we may learn to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and to have that love for our neighbors as well. Guide us this morning. Be with us in all we do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.